Topic 40. Acceptance of Disciples. 1. There is much misapprehension in people's minds as to how a master lets an accepted disciple become aware that he is accepted. An impression is abroad that he is told so, and that an interview is accorded wherein the master accepts him and starts him to work. Such is not the case. The occult law holds good in discipleship as in initiation, and the man goes forward blindly. He hopes, but he does not know. He expects that it may be so, but no tangible assurance is given. From a study of himself and of the requirements, he arrives at the conclusion that perhaps he has reached the status of accepted disciple. He therefore acts on that assumption, and with care he watches his acts, guards his words, and controls his thoughts, so that no overt act, unnecessary word, or unkind thought will break the rhythm which he believes has been set up. He proceeds with his work, but intensifies his meditation. He searches his motives. He sets to equip his mental body. He sets before himself the ideal of service and seeks ever to serve. And then, when he is so engrossed in the work on hand that he has forgotten himself, suddenly one day he sees the one who has for so long seen him. This may come in two ways, in full waking consciousness, or by the registering of the interview on the physical brain as it has been participated in during the hours of sleep. But accompanying this recognition of the event by the disciple will come certain other recognitions. 1. The event is recognized as fact past all controversy. No doubt remains in the disciple's mind. 2. There is recognized an inhibition on the disciple's part to mention the happening to anyone. Months or years may pass away before the disciple will mention it, and then only to those who are also recognized as disciples or to some fellow worker, also under the same group influence, whose right it is to know and whose right is sanctioned by the master of the group. 3. Certain factors governing the master's relation to the disciple are gradually recognized and begin increasingly to govern the disciple's life. A. He recognizes that his points of contact with his master are governed by group emergency and need and deal with his group service. It gradually dawns on him that his master is only interested in him insofar as his ego can be used in service through the personality on the physical plane. He begins to realize that his master works with his soul and that it is his ego, therefore, that is in rapport with the master and not the personal self. His problem, therefore, becomes increasingly clear, and this is the problem of all disciples. It is to keep the channel of communication open between the soul and the brain via the mind, so that when the master seeks to communicate, he can do so at once and easily. Sometimes a master has to wait weeks before he can get his disciple's ear, for the channel upward is closed and the soul is not in rapport with the brain. This is especially true of the early stages of discipleship. B. He finds that one of the first things he has to do is to learn to discriminate between his own soul's vibration, the vibration of the group of disciples with whom he is associated, and the vibration of the master. All three are different, and it is easy to confuse them, especially at first. It is a safe rule for aspirants to assume that when they contact a high vibration and stimulus, that it is their own soul contacting them, the master in the heart, and not run off with the idea, so flattering to their pride and personality, that the master is endeavoring to reach them. C. He finds also that it is not the habit of the masters to flatter or to make promises to their disciples. They are too busy and too wise, nor do they trouble themselves to tell their disciples that they are destined for high office, or that they are their intermediaries and that the hierarchy is depending on them. Ambition, love of power, and the self-sufficiency which characterizes many mental types test out the struggling aspirant, and he gets from his personality all he needs in that line. These qualities delude him and lead him astray, forcing him onto a pedestal from which eventually he must descend. The masters say nothing to feed pride in their disciples, nor do they speak words to them which could foster in their chelas the spirit of separateness. D. The disciple soon finds also that the masters are not easily accessible. They are busy men, ill able to spare even a few moments in which to communicate with the disciple, and only in emergencies, in the case of a beginner on the path of discipleship, do the masters expend the necessary energy with which to get and rapport. With old and tried disciples, the contacts are more frequent, being more easily achieved and bearing more rapid results. It should be remembered, however, that the newer the disciple, the more he demands attention and considers he should have it. The old and more experienced servers seek to fulfill their obligations and carry forward their work with as little contact with the masters as possible. They seek to save the master's time and frequently consider an interview with the master as demonstrating failure on their part and producing, therefore, regret that they have had to take the master's precious time and force him to use his energy in order to safeguard the work from error and the disciple perhaps from harm. The aim of every high disciple is to carry out his work and be in rapport with the spiritual force center, which is his group, and thus in steady touch with the master without interviews and phenomenal contacts. Many only expect to contact their master once a year, usually at the time of the full moon in May. E. He finds also that the relationship between master and disciple is governed by law, and that there are definite stages of contact and grades in the desired rapport. From A Treatise on White Magic, pages 169 through 172. This is a continuation of Topic 40, Acceptance of Disciples. 2. Once he is an accepted disciple and has definitely undertaken the work in preparation for initiation, there is for him no turning back. He could not if he would, and the ashram protects him. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 60. 3. An accepted disciple is one who, 1. Has accepted the fact of the hierarchy with the implications of loyalty and cooperation which that acceptance involves. 2. Has accepted the fact that all souls are one, and who has, therefore, pledged himself to seek expression as a soul. The service to be rendered is the awakening and stimulation of all souls contacted. 3. Has accepted the occult technique of service. His service to humanity determines all his activities and subordinates his personality to the need of the time. Note that phrase. Cultivate insight and a fluid response to the immediate need, and not to a sensitive reaction to a distant goal. 4. Has accepted the plan, as indicated by the teachers of the race. He seeks to understand the nature of that plan, and to facilitate its manifestation. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 83. 4. When the fluctuations of contact are ended, and the pupil is stabilized and becomes a steadily approaching point of energy, then he becomes an accepted disciple. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 98. 5. The first initiation ever precedes the stage of accepted discipleship. No master accepts a disciple and takes him into his ashram, in whom the birth of Christ has not taken place. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 717. 6. The term accepted disciple covers the stages of the first and second initiations. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 728. 7. Initiated disciples have no interest in anything but the vision, the plan, and its direction and materializing upon earth. Accepted disciples are learning this. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 731. 8. There are only about 400 accepted disciples in the world at this time, 1934. That is, men and women who really know they are disciples and know what their work is and are doing it. There are, nevertheless, many hundreds out of the present generation of young people who stand on the verge of acceptance, and thousands upon the probationary path. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 164. See also The Six Stages of Discipleship. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, pages 673 through 773.